And let us move on to the next session, which is history of Bhagavatam class. But before we move on and introduce Prabhuji, I would like to let Tiffany Mataji give a brief introduction. We have the honor of having His Grace Balaram Shakhi Das Prabhuji. So Tiffany Mataji, please take over the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Hare Krishna, Flavia. Thank you. His Grace Balaram Shakti Prabhu is a full-time monk at Govardhan Eco Village. He completed his BE in Metallurgical Engineering from NIT Tiruchirappalli in 2002. Thereafter, he joined Pennsylvania State University and graduated with a PhD in Material Science in 2007. While at Pennsylvania State University, he took up Krishna consciousness as a member of the Vedic society there. He was mentored by His Grace Yugal Kishore Prabhuji. After he moved back to India, he chose to become a full-time monk at Radha Gopinath Mandir. Among others, he was mentored by His Grace Gauranga Prabhuji. In May 2010, he moved to Govardhan Eco Village and has been serving there full-time. He is an extremely erudite scholar in Vaishnava scriptures and is one of the teachers at the Bhaktivedanta Vidyapit. He is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, welcome to the call.
Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranam to everyone. So, I would like to share the screen. I think I have the facility of doing that. Okay. So thank you all very much for joining today's session. So today we'll be continuing our discussion from the fifth canto, fourth chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we will chant the invocation prayers and then we will start today's session. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Parishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langete Girm Yatkrapata Mahamande Shri Gurum Dinatarena. Hare Krishna. So thank you all very much for joining again. So it's a great honor to share Bhagavatam in this August Assembly of Devotees. So very, very grateful for the opportunity. Of Srila Rishabhdev. So Rishabhdev has just appeared. So today from the fifth canto, fourth chapter. So second verse and third verse, we will read the verse. I will read the purport. So I am going to, what the way I am going to do it is, we will take this the second verse and read the translation and purport, and then few thoughts I will share, and then we will read the next verse and a part of the purport and thoughts, and then second part thoughts, like that. So I'm not going to at one stretch read the whole thing. So, and more so, these verses are in prose, they are not in a particular meter. These are prose verses, so I'll just read them and I'll read the translation. Tasyaha va ittam varshmana variya shlokena chaujasa balena shriya yashasa virya saurabhyam cha pita rishabha iti idam nama chakara. So when the son of Maharaj Nabi became visible, he evinced all good qualities described by the great poets, namely a well-built body with all the symptoms of the Godhead, prowess, strength, beauty, name, fame, influence, and enthusiasm. When the father, Maharaj Nabi, saw all these qualities, he thought his son to be the best of human beings or the supreme being. Therefore, he gave him the name Rishabha. So, this is, he has appeared and he has shown the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada, commenting on the purport, he writes, "To accept someone as God or an incarnation of God, one must observe the symptoms of God in his body." So Prabhupada talks about the bona fide symptoms which are actually described in the scriptures. Like that. So he is talking about symptoms of God in his body. All the symptoms were found in the body of Maharaj Nabi's extraordinarily powerful son. His body was well structured and he displayed all the transcendental qualities. He showed great influence and he could control his mind and senses. This is one of the main reasons he took Rishabhdev appeared to show to people how one can actually control their mind and senses. He was named Rishabha, which indicates that he was a supreme living being. So this is a short purport Prabhupada has given. So we will discuss something about this purport. So we will discuss from Chaitanya Charitamrita, because just a couple of days back we celebrated Gaur Purnima festival. So even when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, there were very clear symptoms of his godhood in his body that were manifest within his body. And these symptoms are very clearly mentioned in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let's discuss a few symptoms that were there very clearly. So in the Adilila 3rd chapter and in the Adilila, I guess, 14th chapter, if I'm not wrong. 14th chapter, Adilila 3rd chapter and 14th chapter, these symptoms are very clearly indicated. So we will read, even though we are discussing the symptoms, the bodily features which Rishabhdev showed, which very clearly indicated that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, when he appeared, he clearly showed the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we will read a few verses. This is from the Adilila 3rd canto, 3rd chapter, 42nd verse. Dairgya vistareyai apanarahat charihastahaya mahapurusha vikyata. So charihastahayai dhirgya vistare. One who measures 4 cubits in height and breadth by his own hands. So in heights, in height and breadth, if one is equal, you know, when you extend your hands this way and then vertically and horizontally, if you measure the same span, especially 4 cubits with your own hands, then it is said, he is said to be a very great personality. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exactly measured that way. So these descriptions are from, proper bona fide Vedic scriptures, which describe very clear symptoms, where there is a whole science called Samutriga Lakshana, where seeing the bodily symptoms, one's qualities and future can be predicted also, right? And those books indicate when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, or if a very, very exalted personality appears, what would be his bodily features are very clearly described in that book. Nyagrodha parimandalahaya taranam nyagrodha parimandalata no chaitanya gunadam. So he says, nyagrodha parimandalahaya taranam. So such a person who measures 4 cubits both horizontally and vertically, such a personality is called as Nyagrodha Parimandala. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually personified all the good qualities and had all the symptoms of Nyagrodha Parimandala. This was observed by everyone when he was born. And whoever understood this, generally the astrologers in those days knew the Samudrika art also. So this they knew that very clearly, like we will see Nilambar Chakravarti in the 14th chapter, the maternal grandfather of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would very clearly see those symptoms. Srila Prabhupada in the purport writes, no one other than the Supreme Lord himself who body leaf. No one incarnation of Vishnu and no one else.
The sound is coming in and out.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I think your connection may be a little faulty. We're getting you in and out. We're not hearing you clearly. Oh, it looks like we lost him.
I think he's back, Mataji.
Okay.
Prabhuji, you can turn off your video. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, we cannot hear you. You are sharing, na, Prabhuji, so you can turn off your video, so that way you will get more bandwidth.
Okay, fine. I'll move. Okay, so continue. So we have been discussing about the clearly in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ajanu lambita bhuja kamala lochan tilafula janina sa sudamshu vadan. His arms are long enough to reach his knees. Ajanu lambita bhujo. Janu means knees. Actually, Janu means the calf region. So his hands would reach till the calves. And his eyes are just like lotus flowers. And his nose like a sesame flower. And his face as beautiful as the moon. So he was peaceful, self-controlled, fully devoted to the transcendental service of Lord Sri Krishna. Bhakta Vatsala, he was very affectionate towards his devotees. Shushila, he was very gentle. And Sarva Bhute Sama, and he was equipoised, or he was equally disposed towards all living beings. Chandanera Angada Bala Chandana Bhushan Drityakale Parikarin Krishna Sankirtan. And he was always decorated with sandalwood bangles and armlets. And he was anointed with the pulp of sandalwood. And especially he used to dress himself in this way while doing Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Ei Sabagunalaya Mui Vaisham Payana Sahasraname Kaila Tara Namaganana. So according to our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, and which includes of course our Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he says that this is what exactly Sri Vaishampayana in his Mahabharat, in the Vishnu Sahasrama Stotra, he had predicted very clearly. So this is what he says. And this is the famous verse. Suvarna varno hemango varangas chandanangadi sanyasakritshama shanto nishta shanti parayanaha. So, description of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction, and of course, within Mahabharata is quite famous, and within Mahabharata, the Vishnu Sahasranam is most famous, which actually describes the 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu. And in doing that, he describes a personality who is Suvarna Varno. Suvarna Varno means he is golden in complexion, right? Varanga, Vara means very beautiful. Anga means his bodily limbs. His bodily limbs were very beautiful. Chandanangadi, and his body was smeared with the pulp of sandalwood, which is what we saw exactly, right? Angadamala Chandana Bhushan. Nritya Kale Parikarin Krishna Sankirtan. Especially while performing his Shri Krishna Sankirtan, he would smear his body with sandalwood, and he would wear all kinds of sandalwood ornaments. Suvarna Varno, Varangas Chandanangadi Hemango. And his body looked literally like molten gold. Sanyasakrit. And he says that in his future ashram, later during his life, he would accept sannyas. That was also predicted. And Shama Shanto. Shama Shanto means he was equipoised and peaceful. And the acharyas explained, Prabhupada writes that he was equipoised and peaceful because Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kama Sakale Ashanta Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Atayeva Shanta. So he says that because he accepted and propagated the path of pure devotional service, therefore he was equipoised and peaceful. Otherwise, if he came to propagate any other dharma, he cannot be called as equipoised, peaceful. Right? Nishta Shanti Parayana. He is the abode of peace and devotion, and he silences the impersonalist non-devotees. He would silence them. And Srila Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport. He says, this is a verse from the Mahabharata, Vishnu Sahasranam Stotra. In his commentary on the Vishnu Sahasranam Stotra called the Namartha Sudha, actually every bona fide sampradaya, generally they have a commentary on the Vishnu Sahasranam Stotra also. So therefore, when Baldevdya Bhushan was challenged in Jaipur about whether Gaudiya Vaishnavism was bona fide or not, they said, you don't have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutras, you don't have a commentary on the principal Upanishads, and you don't have a commentary on the Vishnu Sahasranam Stotra. So how are we to understand that you are a bona fide sampradaya like that? So therefore, Baldevdya Bhushan, overnight he wrote all these commentaries. He wrote a commentary on the Vishnu Sahasranam Stotra also, which he called as Namartha Sudha. And according to Srila Baldevdya Bhushan, he says that this verse, Suvarna Varno Hemango Varangas Chandanangadi, it represents Lord Chaitanya. Is the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the evidence of the Upanishads. So he says, Suvarna Varna means golden complexion. And he says that Vishnu Sahasranam is not the only place. There are many, many Upanishads, Mundaka Upanishad, Chaitanya Upanishad, many other Upanishads also talk about Rukma Varnam Kartaram Isham Purusham Brahma Yonim. Like that. Rukma Varnam Kartaram Isham refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as having a complexion, the color of molten gold. And Purusham means the Supreme Lord. And Brahma Yonim indicates that he is the Supreme Brahman. As Krishna himself says, Brahmanohi Pratishta Aham. I am the support of Brahma, and that is addressed here as Brahma Yonim. And that Brahma Yoni is Krishna, we know that for sure. But this verse of Mundaka Upanishad says, this Rukma Varanam, this personality who is who possesses the color of molten gold, actually that Purusha is also Brahma Yoni, he says. So he says, this evidence too proves that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Another meaning of the description of the Lord as having a golden hue is that Lord Chaitanya's personality is as fascinating as gold is attractive. So who is not attracted to gold? Everyone is fascinated. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's form is also, and his activities are as fascinating as gold is for a materialist. So, and Varanga further, Vara Anga means exquisitely beautiful. This describes the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas, sannyasakrit, right? This is what Vishnu Sahasranam Stotra says, leaving aside his household or life to preach his mission. And then it is mentioned that equanimity in different senses. He was very sense controlled. That's what the Vishnu Sahasranam Stotram says. So, first he describes the confidential truth of the personality of Godhead, and second he satisfies everyone by knowledge and attachment to Krishna. So why is he called as peaceful? He is peaceful because he renounces all topics not related to the service of Krishna. Right? That's what Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Atayeva Shanta. So he is the most peaceful because he does not desire anything else other than the desire to please Krishna. And Krishna is pleased by bhakti. Bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayutapaya. Krishna was pleased with bhakti, which was present even in an elephant like Gajendra. So therefore, a devotee is always very peaceful because his desire is to please Krishna, and he understands that Krishna is pleased by bhakti. Right? So therefore, that he is peaceful, especially because he came to propagate the path of pure devotional service. By practicing with everyone can become peaceful. And Srila Baldev Vidya Bhushan has explained that the word nishta indicates he is being rigidly fixed in chanting the holy name of Shri Krishna. Kirtaniya sada hari. So nishta means fixed. So he was fixed in the Yuga Dharma. Right? He was fixed in the Yuga Dharma. That is why he is the Yuga Avatar of this age also. Right? So that is the meaning of Nishta, according to Srila Baldev Vidya Bhushan. And Lord Chaitanya subdued all disturbing opponents of devotional service, especially the monists who are actually averse to the personal feature of the Lord. Like that. And that is the meaning of Shanti. Shanti Parayana. He could silence all non-devotional philosophies, like the Buddhist philosophies, like that. So in this way, actually, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's clearly predicted in various scriptures, and our acharyas have very wonderfully explained how these verses indicate the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only. And even in the 14th chapter of Adilila, this was what Nilambar Chakravarti, the maternal grandfather of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw the chart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could clearly see that. Chinnade ki chakravarti balena hasiya lagna gani purve ami rakiya chilikiya. When Nilambar Chakravarti saw those marks, he smilingly said, formerly I ascertained all this by astrological calculation and noted it in writing. He says, when I first saw, before even seeing the bodily features of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first thing that Nilambar Chakravarti did is he did the astrological calculation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and clearly which indicated that he was going to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And now from the bodily features also he noticed the same thing. Right? So he had two means of cross-verifying the thing. One was the astrological chart based on the time of appearance, and second was the bodily features. Both indicated that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Batrisha Lakshana Mahapurusha Bhushan Yeishishu Angede Ki Se Sabalakshan. So he said, there are 32 bodily marks that symptomatize a great personality. And I see all those marks on the body of this child. So 32 features. So what are those 32 features? Pancha dirga pancha sukshma sapta rakta shadunnata trihraswa prutu gambiro dvatrimsha lakshano mahan. Pancha dirga pancha sukshma. Dvatrimshad lakshano. 32 symptoms of a great person. What are? He says, pancha dirga. 5 of his bodily parts are large. Pancha sukshma. 5 features are very fine. Sapta rakta. 7 features are very reddish in color. Shad unnata. 6 of those features are raised. Triharsva. 3 parts are very small. Prutu. And 3 are very broad. Three gambiro and 3 are very grave. So these are the 32 features. So and Srila Prabhupada in the purport very clearly indicates what are those 32 features. The 5 large parts are nose, arms, chin, eyes and knees. So these are the 5 large parts. The 5 fine parts are the skin, fingertips, teeth, hair, hair on the body and hair on the head. So all these 5 are very, very fine and very subtle. The 7 reddish parts are the eyes, soles of his feet, palms, palate, nails, upper and lower lips. So these 7 were reddish. Okay, and the 6 raised parts are the chest was raised, shoulders, nails, nose, waist and mouth. So these were the 6 raised parts. The 3 small parts are the neck, thighs and male organ. And the 3 broad parts are the waist, forehead and chest. And the 3 grave parts are the navel, voice and his existence was also grave. Altogether, these 32 symptoms of a these are the 32 symptoms of a great personality. This is a quotation from the Samudrika. And Nilambar Chakravarti was very much well versed in this. So clearly he could understand that these 32 symptoms are very clearly there in this child. So he must be a very great personality. Like that. So Narayane Rachinna Yukta Srihasta Charan. So he said, this baby, apart from that, has all the symptoms. Narayanera Chinna Yukta. He has all the symbols of Lord Narayana also. In his body. In his palms and soles. Yei Shishu Sarvaloke Karibetaran. And this child is going to deliver all the 3 worlds. This was the prediction of Nilambar Chakravarti. So in this way, actually Prabhupada always says that one should not very cheaply accept any person as incarnation. One should refer to the Shastras, and the Shastras clearly indicate the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have seen from the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also how he showed all these symptoms very clearly. So now we will move on to the next verse, the 3rd verse. I will directly read the translation of this verse. Indra, the king of heaven, who is very materially opulent, became envious of King Rishabhdev. So when he saw Rishabhdev, he could not identify that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he became very envious. Consequently, he stopped pouring water on the planet known as Bharatvarsha. So the whole Bharatvarsha. So Bharatvarsha here refers to not India. So Bharatvarsha here refers to one of the 9 parts of Jambudvip. So if you see the whole the whole Bhumandala or the earthly planetary system is divided into seven islands and seven oceans, and the middlemost island and the smallest island is Jambudvip, and within in the center of which is the Meru mountain. And then it is mentioned that this Jambudvip is further divided into nine varshas or nine parts, of which one of the smallest parts is Bharat Varsha. And this Bharat Varsha was what was ruled by Bharat Maharaj and Rishabhadev also. And before it was named as Bharat Varsha, it was actually named after Rishabhadev. It was called as Ajanabha Varsha. So Ajanabha Varsha, so Ajanabha Varsha means Naba is Nabi and Aja means born out of Nabi. So Nabi was the father of Rishabhdev. So therefore Rishabhdev was also called as Ajanabha. Okay, so before Bharat Maharaj made Bharat Varsha famous, Bharat Varsha was all actually named after Rishabhdev. It was called as Ajanabha Varsha. Like that. At that time, the Supreme Lord Rishabhdev, the master of all mystic power, understood King Indra's purpose and smiled a little. Then by his own prowess through Yoga Maya, he profusely poured water upon his own place, which was known as Ajanabha. Right? So when he saw that Indra, out of envy, was not pouring rain, he used his own yogic powers to shower water in his own land. So here, if you see, it is mentioned that purport, Prabhupada writes, we find the word Bhagavan used twice in this verse. Okay, so one, both King Indra and Rishabhadev, both are addressed as Bhagavan here. Both King Indra and Rishabhadev, the incarnation Supreme Lord, are described as Bhagavan. Sometimes Narada and Lord Brahma are also addressed as Bhagavan. The word Bhagavan means that one is a very opulent and powerful person like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Narada or Indra. They are all addressed as Bhagavan due to their extraordinary opulence. King Rishabhadev is an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, and therefore he was the original Bhagavan. So, Prabhupada many times quotes from the Shastras the definition of Bhagavan. Actually, if you see, that is one definition that he quotes, but there are multiple definitions of the word Bhagavan in the Shastras, in the same Vishnu Puran. So, Prabhupada quotes from Vishnu Puran. Okay, so we will see the various definitions of Bhagavan. So, the first definition of Bhagavan, Prabhupada, this is the most commonly quoted verse from the Vishnu Puran. So, he says, Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashasya shriya jnana vairagyayos chapi shannam bhaga iti ingana. So, bhaga of six parts is defined as complete control, complete influence. So complete control is and complete excellent qualities of body, mind and words, complete beauty and wealth, complete knowledge, complete detachment from worldly affairs. Jnana vairagyayos chapi shannam bhaga iti ingana. So this is Vishnu Puran verse, very famous verse, which defines, so this is the popular a definition of Bhagavan. Prabhupada always quotes and he says, if someone calls himself a Bhagavan, you should challenge whether he has these six opulences in full. Right? But the same Vishnu Puran quotes another verse, with similar verse. Jnana, Shakti, Bala, Aishwarya, Virya, Tejamsi, Asheshataha, Bhagavat Shabda Vachyani Vina Heyer Gunadibihi. This is a little more comprehensive definition of the word Bhagavan. He says, the word Bhagavan means to be endowed with unlimited, right? Asheshatah, knowledge, jnana, sense power, shakti, bala, bodily strength, power of control, aishwarya, then virya, influence, and beauty. Vina heyair gunadibihi. Vina heyair gunadibihi means without any inferior gunas. So the all the superior qualities are completely there, and there is absolutely no trace of any inferior gunas. So this is another little more comprehensive definition of the word Bhagavan. But sometimes even human beings are called Bhagavan. Under what circumstances human beings can be addressed as Bhagavan? Again, Vishnu Purana only says, like Prabhupada said, sometimes Narada Muni and Brahma, they are also addressed as Bhagavan, right? So in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, for example, actually Vyasakischa Bhagavan. Vyasaki is Shukadev Goswami. So Shukadev Goswami is addressed as Bhagavan. So under what circumstances a human being can address Bhagavan? So again Vishnu Puran says that. So Vishnu Puran says, Utpattim pralayam chaiva bhutanam agatim gatim vetti vidyam avidyam cha savacho Bhagavan iti. So he says, Bhagavan refers to a person, Utpattim pralayam chaiva, who knows about the creation and destruction of the universe. Right? Utpattim pralayam chaiva. And bhutanam agatim gatam gatim. And he also knows about the appearance and disappearance of living entities. How they appear and how they disappear, he knows about that. Veti vidyam avidyamcha, and he knows about knowledge. What is knowledge? What constitutes knowledge? What constitutes ignorance? He knows that. Sa vacho bhagavaniti. So a person who is very proficient in these kinds of knowledge, he is called actually as Bhagavan. Okay. So like that, there are many definitions of Bhagavan. So sometimes you know, the demigods are also addressed as Bhagavan under certain circumstances. So this is a knowledgeable person can also be addressed as Bhagavan. But under some circumstances, the demigods like Brahma and Shiva, they can also be addressed as Bhagavan. We will discuss this topic from a book called Laghu Bhagavatamrita. So this Laghu Bhagavatamrita was a book written by Srila Rupa Goswami. So where he talks about various kinds of avataras and establishes how Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So in a very systematic way, he establishes this. And in the second chapter of this Laghu Bhagavatamrita, he talks about Gunavataras. So Gunavataras are Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. So we will take an excerpt from Laghu Bhagavatamrita and we will discuss under what circumstances actually even Brahma and Lord Shiva can be addressed as Bhagavan, right? So the Gunavataras. So in Laghu Bhagavatamrita we will see that actually Brahma and Shiva can be either a Jiva or the Supreme Lord Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu himself. Actually Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu only expands as the Gunavataras sometimes, not always. So he expands as Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. So in that case, they all are considered to be the Swamsha avatar of Garbhodak Sai Vishnu. They are Vishnu Tattvas. Right? And sometimes a Jiva can take the role of Brahma and Shiva, but not Lord Vishnu. Okay? And here Vishnu indicates the Gunavatara Vishnu. Vishnu is actually Shirodaka Sai Vishnu, okay, the Paramatma. So, and he is an expansion, he is a Swamsha expansion of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. So, but Brahma and Shiva can sometimes be a Jiva, sometimes they can be a Swamsha expansion of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, just like Shirodaka Sai Vishnu is a Swamsha expansion of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. So, we will read some sections of this Laghu Bhagavatamrita to understand under what circumstances and how under some circumstances Brahmaji and Lord Shiva can be a Jiva, and sometimes they can be a direct Swamsha expansion of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. So, he says, Gunavataras tatrata katyante purushadiha Vishnur Brahmacha Rudrascha Stiti Sargadi Karmani. The Gunavataras, you see here, Tatra Purushad. So, arising from the Purusha. So, the Purusha here is Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. So, those Gunavataras who appear from the Purushavatara, who is Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, are Vishnu, Brahma and Shiva. So, this Vishnu is Shirodaka Sai Vishnu. The one who is the expansion is Shirodaka Sai Vishnu. That personality from whom he expands, he is Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, and Brahma and Shiva. So here, in this case, Brahma and Shiva can be called as Bhagavan, because this Brahma and Shiva are Swamsha expansions of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. So they are actually Vishnu Tattvas only. And in this case, they can be called as avataras also. So therefore, they are called as Guna Avataras, right? Then, Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu expanding as the Gunavataras is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Bhagavatam says, Sattvam Rajas Tamayiti Prakritir Gunaste Yuktaha Parapurusha Eka Ihasya Datte Stityadaye Hari Virinchi Hareti Samgya Shreyamsi Tatra Kalu Sattva Tanor Ndranamsyuhu. He says, one Purusha who is Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, by accepting the three modes, manifests as Gunavataras, which is Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. But the highest auspiciousness is in worshipping Vishnu. So even though these three are there, even when Lord Vishnu, Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu expands as Brahma and Shiva, still the forms of Brahma and Shiva are not fit to be worshipable. They should not be worshipped. Only Vishnu's form is fit to be worshipped. That's what it is mentioned. Right? Then, then there is a verse that is explaining that. Then we'll move on. Further, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the functions of these three Gunavataras, who are expansions of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, this is described. I will not read the verse. I will directly read the translation. Here, one of the Navayogendras, Drumila, he is explaining to Nimi Maharaj about these Gunavataras. He says, in the beginning, the Purusha here refers to Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, appeared as Brahma. So, which means, Brahma is a form of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu only, in this particular case, right? Through Rajoguna, for the purpose of creation. Then he expanded as Shirodaka Sai Vishnu, who is his another Swamsha expansion, for the purpose of maintenance. Then he expanded as Lord Shiva through Tamoguna for the purpose of destruction, like that. So this is very clearly mentioned. And Srila Baldev Deva Bhushan commenting on this verse, he says, the Lord, by His will, becomes Brahma and Shiva, association with Rajas and Tamas. So, when Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu he comes in touch with Rajas and Tamas. He is not forced to come in touch with Rajas and Tamas, but out of his own sweet will, he chooses to come in touch. But even when he comes in touch, he does not literally touch them. Of course, he comes in touch with them through the forms of Brahma and Shiva. But as Shirodhaka Sai Vishnu, he is not directly touching even Sattvaguna. Only through the Maya potency, he touches Sattvaguna. But in doing all these things, his free will is always there. Right? He is not forced to come in touch with the modes, and definitely he is not affected by them. So, Srila Baldev Bhushan gives the example of when the Lord becomes Buddha, he became Buddha by his own will, right? He came in association with Pashanda Dharma. Pashanda Dharma means heretical religion or incomplete, improper religious principles. Just overemphasizing on only Ahimsa, like that. So there was a particular purpose because of which he appeared. And here, interestingly, he talks about Rishabhdev also. Rishabhdev specifically appeared to teach renunciation. So therefore, he associated with extreme renunciation in his life, just to teach that extreme renunciation to the jnanis and yogis. But even though he may come in touch with all these things, extreme renunciation is not necessarily spiritual, it is material only, right? Heretical religion is certainly a perverted reflection of real religion. So, but when he comes in touch, he does not become contaminated by this association, right? So when Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu comes in touch with Rajogun, when he plays the role of Brahma, or when he comes in touch with Tamogun, when he plays the role of Lord Shiva, he is certainly not contaminated by it. And as Shirodhaka Sai Vishnu, he does not even come in touch with with Sattvaguna directly, right? Then Vaman Puran also very clearly says that that Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva are actually forms of Vishnu only, right? So this is the first case where Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu expands as Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, right? But still, even though Bhagavatam says Parthiva Daruno Dhumas Tasmad Agnis Trayimayah Tamasastu Rajas Tasmad Sattvam Yad Brahma Darshanam, famous verse, he says that smoke is superior to dull wood and fire is superior to smoke. Similarly, Rajogun is better than Tamogun and Sattogun is superior to Rajogun and Tamogun. Therefore, the representative of Rajogun, the representative of Sattogun, whose body is actually made of Shuddha Sattva, which is Shirodhaka Sai Vishnu, he is only fit to be worshipped. So even when Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu expands as Brahma and Shiva, they should not be worshipped as the Supreme Lord. Now only the form of Vishnu has to be worshipped. That's what this verse indicates. Okay. So in this way, how when Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu expands as Gunavataras, then in that case, even if Brahma and Shiva can be addressed as Bhagavan, that is no problem, because they are actually Bhagavan. In the true sense of Bhagavan, as Aishwaryasya Samagrascha Lagda. Okay. Now, but as we saw, Jivas can also appear as, take the role of Brahma and Shiva in some, during some Kalpa or in some particular Brahmandas or in some particular universes. So now, this Laghu Bhagavatam also talks about that, and Bhagavatam also talks about that. Right? So, here it is, Srila Rupa Goswami says, when a Jivatma takes the role of Brahma, he has two forms. One is a subtle form called as Hiranyagarbha, and another is a gross form called as Vairaja. So this Vairaja Brahma is the four-headed Brahma. So he has a gross form, which can be seen by all the Devatas. So the Devatas, when they go to meet Brahma, they see this four-headed Brahma who is called as Vairaja, and he is the one who is engaged in creation of this material universe. But there is another subtle form of Brahma. He is called as Hiranyagarbha. And this Hiranyagarbha is not engaged in the duty of creation. He is actually, he appears for his own enjoyment. So this is the description. This comes in Bhagavatam also, this is described, and Srila Rupa Goswami also describes this in Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Right? So now, then he says that this Vairaja has four heads and he carries out creation. Correct? And of course, and apart from creation, he also preaches the Vedas. Veda Pracharanarthaya Brahma Jatas Chaturmukaha, says Kurma Puran. Four-headed Brahma is born for preaching the Vedas. So through four heads, he preaches the four Vedas. Okay. And then it is mentioned that sometimes Bhavet Kvachin Mahakalpe Brahma Jivopi Upasanehi Kvachit Atra Mahavishnur Brahmatvam Pratipadyate. So Padma Puran says that sometimes the Jiva becomes Brahma and sometimes Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu becomes Brahma, like that, the four-headed Brahma. And further, the Vaidya Bhushan explains that sometimes when the Lord becomes Brahma, at that time, this Vairaja Brahma and the Hiranyagarbha Brahma, the two features of the Jiva who takes up the role of Brahma, they merge within the body of Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. Till their time comes to act as Brahma, they merge within the body of Karanodaka Sai Vishnu, and it is mentioned that the Hiranyagarbha form actually engages in lot of enjoyment, which is provided by the devatas within the body of Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. There is an explanation like this. So, therefore, Brahmaji can also be called as Avatara or Bhagavan for three reasons. The first reason is that Brahmaji is called an Avatara because Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu himself becomes Brahma. So therefore, he is called an Avatara. Even generally, the word Avatara is reserved for the Supreme Personality of Godhead or Vishnu Tattva. And actually, in some cases, Vishnu Tattva only, Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu only becomes Brahmaji. So therefore, he can be called as an Avatara and he can as well be called as Bhagavan also. And sometimes he becomes so powerfully empowered by the Supreme Lord that literally the Lord's power completely merges in the body of Brahma. So therefore, this is called Bhagavad Avesh. So this is Bhagavad Avesha Avatar. So therefore, in such cases also, Brahmaji can, he is called an Avatara. And sometimes there is a little less energy which is given to Brahma, in which case he is called as a Shakti Avesha Avatara. So Bhagavad Avesha Avatara, Shakti Avesha Avatara, and actually the Bhagavan himself, Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu himself becomes Brahma. So for these three reasons, Brahma is also called as a Avatara or an Avatara, like that. Right? So, so then how Brahmaji is Shakti Avesha Avatara? What is the power of Brahma? That is described in Brahma Samhita, famous verse. Bhaswan yatashma shakaleshu nijeshu teja sviyam kiyat prakatayat vyapitatvadatra Brahmaya yesha jagadanda vidana karta Govinda madhi purusham tamaham bhajami. So in Brahma Samhita it is mentioned Bhaswan. Bhaswan means the sun. So the sun, sometimes it is mentioned that manifests, prakatayati, he manifests sviyam tejaha kiyat. He manifests a small portion of his powers in a stone, which is called as Surya Kanta stone. So when the Suryakanta, when the sun rays fall on the Suryakanta stone, they actually dazzle and glitter almost like another sun, but in small size. They are like a small sized sun because they are so transparent, they reflect the light of sun. So, but when the sun sets, the Suryakanta stone looks like any other ordinary stone only, a piece of glass only. So similarly, Brahmaji is called as Ishvara or Gunavatara, Avatara, in the sense that sometimes he is empowered with a small amount of Srishti Shakti or creative energy by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Under such circumstances, Brahmaji is also called as an avatara. But his in this case, this refers to the Jivatma who becomes Brahma. So this Brahma Samhita verse indicates Brahmaji, who is a Shakti Avesh avatara. So when a Jiva becomes empowered with the Srishti Shakti or the creative power by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that Brahma is a Shakti Avesh avatar. He is not a Vishnu Tattva. But sometimes Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu himself takes the role of Brahma. Under such cases, he is actually a Swamsha avatar. And he can be called as Bhagavan. So under some circumstances, Brahmaji can also be called as Bhagavan. And the same way, Rudra or Lord Shiva also, either Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu himself takes the role of Lord Shiva, or a Jiva can take the role of Lord Shiva also. This is also mentioned in Laghu Bhagavata Amrita. Right? So, it is mentioned that Rudra Ekadasha Vyuhas Tata Ashtatanur Apyasau Prayaha Panchananas Trayaksho Dashabahur Udiryate. So, when Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu expands as Rudra, he generally expands into 11 expansions, the Ekadasha Rudras. They are described in Bhagavatam also, third canto, right? And he has 8 types of forms. These 11 Rudras have 8 types of forms. And generally, 10 of them, generally is used because 10 of them, they have 5 heads, 3 eyes and 10 arms each. Okay. So they have 5 eyes, 5 heads and 3 eyes and 10 arms each, like that. Tattu Sheshavat. It is mentioned that Kochid, sometimes a special Jiva takes the role of Lord Shiva. Right? Jiva Visheshatvam Harasyoktam. A special Jiva takes the role of Lord Shiva. Videriva. Just like Brahmaji, sometimes a special Jiva takes the role of Brahma. This is described in the 4th canto, 24th chapter, Rudra Gita also. Swadharma Nishta Shatajanma Vipuman Virinchita Meti Tataparam Himam Avyakritam Bhagavatota Vaishnavam Padam Yataham Vibhuda Kalatyaye. Like that it is mentioned that if someone for 100 lifetimes perfectly follows Varnashrama Dharma, he can become Brahmaji. But someone who is more qualified than that, he can become Lord Shiva sometimes. Right? So, so therefore sometimes a Jiva takes the role of Lord Shiva, and in such times, in such cases, actually, Lord Shiva is called a demigod, actually. So, Brahma Rudradi Daivatam Samatvenaiva Vikshetha Sa Pashandi Bhavedruvam Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudradi Daivatam Samatvenaiva Vikshetha Sa Pashandi Bhavedruvam. So, there is this very famous verse which Prabhupada always quotes. This is probably from Skanda Puran. So, where it is mentioned that Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudradi Daivatam. One who considers Supreme Lord Narayan to be equal to devatas like Brahma, Lord Shiva, like that. That's exactly what the verse says. And quoting this verse, Jiva Goswami indicates that this verse indicates actually that this Brahma and Shiva are actually Jivatmas. Otherwise, you cannot compare them with other Devatas. Because when Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu becomes Gunavatara Shiva and Gunavatara Brahma, they are not Devatas. That Brahma is also not a Devata. Right? So they cannot be compared with other Devatas. But in some cases, when a Jiva takes that role, then that Brahma and Devata and that Brahma and Shiva are actually compared with the Devatas also sometimes. Huh? So, like that. So, sometimes a special Jiva can also take the role of Shiva. And there are many verses from the Shastras which indicate that how sometimes Jiva can become Shiva. So, in the Rig Veda, there is a verse which says that Yam kamaye tam ugram krinomi tam brahmana tam rishim tam sumedham. I make whomever I desire into Lord Shiva. I make whomever I desire into Lord Brahma or a sage. Like that the Supreme Lord says. Right? So which means this Brahma and Shiva are actually Jivatmas. And then there are verses in Narayana Upanishad and similar verses are there in Bhagavatam also. Ata purushohavai Narayano akamayata prajasa jaya. Narayana Brahma jayate, Narayana Rudro jayate, like that. From Narayana, Brahma was born. From Narayana, Rudra was born. So these are actually Jivatmas. Right? So these are actually Jivatmas. Otherwise, the Supreme Lord's form of Brahma and Shiva, Brahma and Shiva, these are like eternal forms. These are spiritual forms actually. So they cannot be created. Those forms cannot be created. And then there are aham eva sameva gre nanyadyat sadasatparam, you know, those kind of verses are there. And also here he quotes from the Maha Upanishad and Moksha Dharma, where it is mentioned, in the beginning, only Karanodaka Sai Vishnu existed, Brahma did not exist and Lord Shiva did not exist. Eko havai Narayano asid na Brahma na Ishanaha. So, such verses are there. This here, the Brahma and Shiva are actually Jivatmas only, who are later created, whose bodies are later created. Of course, souls are never created, but their bodies are later created. So, this verse also indicates a Jivatma taking the role of Brahma and Shiva in some, either in some Kalpa, or some day of Brahma, or during some, or in some particular universes. But this is not always true. And again, another verse he quotes from Moksha Dharma, where he says that I create Brahma and Shiva also, which means he creates their bodies. In that case also, it refers to a Jivatma. And not only that, when a Jivatma takes the role of Brahma and Shiva, then there is death also for that Brahma and Shiva also. And that is also mentioned from the book called Vishnu Dharma. So this verse gives the proof that when a Jiva takes the role of Rudra and Brahma, they also die. Right? It is mentioned, however, when work in the universe is finished, they become bereft of powers and in that state, they all die. Who all dies? He says, Brahma, Shiva, Suryadev, Chandra, Indra, all of them. So he puts all of them, he puts Brahma and Shiva in the category of other Devatas. Right? So in this case, it indicates Jiva, like that. Of course, this is just some, and in other cases, actually Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu himself becomes the Lord. In such case, only from, it is mentioned that ignorant people perceive that that Lord Shiva is actually controlled by Tamoguna, but actually it is only a perception. In reality, he is not controlled by Tamoguna. That is very clearly mentioned. Right? So, this verse, Shiram yatad adivikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahitata pratagasti hetoho yas shambutam apitata samupaiti karyat govindamadi purusham tamaham bajami. So, this famous verse from Brahma Samhita, which describes Lord Shiva, this indicates actually Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu who transforms into Shiva. So he is described as Kshiram Yata Dadivikara Vishesha Yogat. So he says that just like milk transforms into curd, and that transformed curd is simultaneously same as and different from the original milk. In the same way, Lord Govinda transforms into Lord Shiva for the purpose of destruction. But the transformation is only superficial. In reality, there is no transformation. He is non-different also. That mention is there, right? So that indicates that because the transformation is superficial or apparent, it does not affect Govinda's Swarupa. So therefore, the transformation of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu to Lord Shiva is only apparent, but in reality, there is no transformation like that. So in this way, it is mentioned. Of course, there are many other descriptions. I don't want to go into that. But the point is that sometimes Lord Shiva is also the Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu becomes Lord Shiva, and sometimes he becomes a Jiva takes up the role of Lord Shiva. So when Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu expands as Lord Shiva, as a Swayam, as a Swamshavatar, then he can be called as Bhagavan, like that. Okay. Of course, these are just some technical details, just in case if you are interested, because the purport spoke about that, so I touched on that point. So we have not read the whole purport. We read only one part of the purport. We will read the last part of this purport also, and then we will discuss a few things from this. Consequently, he is described herein as Yogeshwara, which indicates that he has the most powerful spiritual potency. So he here refers to Rishabhadev. He is not dependent on King Indra for water. He can supply water himself, and he did so in this case. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Yagyad Bhavati Parjanyo. Due to performance of Yagya, clouds of water are manifest in the sky. Prabhupada talks about the third chapter verse. Clouds and rainfall are under the management of Indra, the heavenly king. But when Indra is neglectful, the Supreme Lord himself, who is also known as Yagya or Yagyapati, takes the task upon himself. Consequently, there was sufficient rainfall in the place named Ajanabha. Ajanabha here is Bharatvarsha. When Yagyapati wants to, he can do anything without the help of any subordinate. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is known as Almighty. In the present age of Kali, there will eventually be a great scarcity of water, which is already we are seeing actually, for the general populace due to ignorance and the scarcity of yajnic ingredients, will neglect to perform yajnas. Because there will not be sufficient ingredients, people cannot perform yajnas. Srimad Bhagavatam therefore advises, Yajnai Sankirtana Prayair Yajantihi Sumedasa. After all, yajna is meant to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this age of Kali, there is great scarcity and ignorance. Nonetheless, everyone can perform Sankirtan Yajna. Every family in every society can conduct Sankirtan Yajna at least every evening, Prabhupada says. In this way, there will be no disturbance or scarcity of rain. It is essential for people in this age to perform Sankirtan Yajna in order to be materially happy and to advance spiritually. Right? So Prabhupada talks about how yajnas are important for the prosperity. Right? And because Prabhupada says there is no ingredients available, pure ingredients. And of course, elsewhere he says there are no pure brahmanas also who are available to perform these yajnas. So therefore, many times Prabhupada suggests, therefore perform Sankirtan Yajna. But in reality, do devotees not perform sacrifices only because pure brahmanas and pure ingredients are not available? Is that why devotees don't perform these sacrifices? So what is our understanding? And sometimes, even pure devotees do perform these sacrifices. Like we see in the case of Bharat Maharaj, who is the son of Rishabhadev. So two chapters down the line, seventh chapter, I think, right? Three chapters down the line, the description of Bharat Maharaj performing sacrifices comes, right? So Rishabhadev himself produced rain, but his son Bharat Maharaj did perform sacrifices to get rain, right? So it is mentioned in the fifth canto, seventh chapter, fifth verse, that Bharat Maharaj constantly worshipped the Lord, who is the form of sacrifice, with and without offering of animals, through large and small sacrifices named Agnihotra, Darsha Purnamas, Chaturmas, animal sacrifices and Soma sacrifices, complete or partial, according to the rules involving the four priests, which are accepted by faith, with faith by the Karmis. So which means, those yajnas which are performed by the Karmakandis or the Karma Yogis, they were accepted by and performed by Bharat Maharaj, it is mentioned. Right? But someone may say, but Bhagavatam very clearly says, Tavat Karmani Kurvita na Nirvidyeta Yavata Matkata Shravanadavva Shraddha Yavanna Jayate. So, the Bhagavatam says, this is in the 11th canto, 20th chapter, Tavat Karmani Kurvita, means one should perform the Varnashrama Dharma. Varnashrama duties, which includes various sacrifices, only under two circumstances. Na Nirvidyeta Yavata. Na Nirvidyeta Yavata means one has not developed complete detachment. This is the qualification for jnana. Right? Then he says, Matkata Shravanadavva Shraddha Yavanna Jayate. Or one, if one has not developed faith in hearing. Faith in bhakti, basically. Okay? So this is qualification for bhakti. Right? So, one should continue to perform one's Varnashram duties till either one develops qualification for jnana, which is complete detachment from this material world, which one develops actually by perfectly performing Varnashram duties in a detached way, one's heart becomes purified. And when the heart becomes purified, one develops that kind of detachment from the material world. And when one develops that qualification, he can stop performing Varnashram duties. Or if one has developed faith in the practice of pure devotional service, under such circumstances also, one can stop performing Varnashram duties. Now the question is, how is it that Bharat Maharaj, a person qualified for pure devotion, very clearly, with deep faith in the topics of the Lord and without material desire, why did he perform Karma Yoga and enjoy its result? The next verse explains this. So why did he do it? Why did he perform all these Karmakandiya Yajnas, and why did he try to enjoy those results? Right? So, the next verse, we will not read the verse. This is a long prose verse. We will see the meaning. Of course, the meaning is also very long. So, we will take part by part. Okay? Because each part indicates an aspect of his performance of Yajna, how he performed Yajna. So, it is mentioned that in performance of various sacrifices with execution of all parts, which means Bharat Maharaj perfectly performed all sacrifices. He did not miss out on any limbs. This is the first point, first aspect. Then Bharata thought of the astonishing result of the sacrifice, Dharma, as an offering to the Supreme Brahman, the supreme object of worship, Vasudev. So, whatever result that would come out of that practice, he offered it as a worship to Krishna. Okay? And he considered Krishna as the doer. So, Bharat Maharaj did not consider Sakshat Kartari. So, the ultimate doer, he did not have any ahankar. He did not have any false ego thinking that ahankara vimudatma karta aham iti manyate. He understood that everything is happening according to the sanction of the Supreme Lord. So, he is the doer. That was his mood, even when performing the sacrifices. Yajna Purushe, he understood that Krishna is the recipient of sacrifice. Even though in that sacrifice he had to chant Indraya Swaha, Varunaya Swaha, etc., he very clearly understood that he was actually worshipping Lord Vishnu only because he is the true recipient of sacrifice. So, because he understood, since Vasudev alone is the controller of all the devatas who are subject to the mantras which have power to reveal those devatas. So, he knew that the controller of all the devatas is Vasudev only. So, therefore, even while chanting Indraya Saha Varunaya Swaha, he very clearly understood that this sacrifice is meant for pleasing Vishnu only. Right? Atma Naipunya Mridita Kashayaha. Having destroyed all impressions of karma by his skillful actions. Skillful actions here refers to bhakti. Okay. By practice of bhakti, he had destroyed, his heart had become purified. So, which means he performed with a purified heart. He did not have any material desire to achieve through performance of those yajnas. And most importantly, he did not personally perform, he appointed proxy, Advaryu priest. Because he wanted to spend all the time chanting, all the time in Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandaram Dasyam Sakyam Admani Vedanam. And according to the rules of the Yajna, if the yajaman or the proprietor of that yajna is unable to attend the yajna, he can appoint a proxy. Okay. Whereas the devatas, recipients of the sacrifice as limbs of the Lord. Okay. So, when he chanted Indraya Swaha, he said, he meditated that I am like that. Because Indra is called the hand of, in the universal form, each devata the different limbs of the person recorded like that. So, 7 points are mentioned about how these great devotees also, even though Bharat Maharaj is king, have their citizens, so because of which he had to perform all these sacrifices. But while performing all the sacrifices, even though he perfectly performed all of them, he offered the result as in the, he used the result of the tip in result of that sacrifice in worship of Krishna. He perfectly understood Krishna as the doer. He understood Krishna as the recipient of that sacrifice, and he performed with a pure heart purity, and he to perform it while he himself was engaged in Shravanam Kirtanam. And when even when meditating of the Supreme Lord, got it like that. So therefore, this is what is described in this purport. I will not go through this last purport. And these practices, Varnashram practices. Because he understood that I have qualification for bhakti, so I have to perform bhakti only. So ashraddaya hutam dattam tapastaptam kritam chayat asaditi uchyate moha. So in the 17th chapter, last verse of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that any activity of charity or sacrifice or anything or austerity, which when it is done, because it, so Bharat Maharaj had full faith in bhakti only. He did not have any faith in any of these sacrifices. So that's as good as not. So to conclude, Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu indicates for a sadhaka, what is expected of a sadhaka or a person who is qualified for practicing sadhana bhakti. Anushtanato dosho bhakti anganam prajayate na karmanam akaranad yesha bhakti adhikarinam nishiddha acharato daivat prayas chittam tuna uchitam iti vaishnava shastranam rahasyam tadvidam. A person qualified for bhakti means one who has shraddha or faith in the process, right? Dosha prajayate, if he has that faith, failing to perform all of the important limbs of, then he is at fault. Na karmana makarana, but he is not at fault for failing to perform the duties of varna and ashrama. Daivat, if by chance, nishiddha acharato, if he happens to commit some abominable activity, prayaschittam tunna uchitam, that he need not perform any karmakandiya prayaschitta. Like there are various kinds of atonements prescribed for various kinds of sinful activities. But for devotees, bhakti only acts as atonement. Right? Iti Vaishnava Shastranam Rahasyam Tadvidam Matam. This is the opinion of those who understand the secret of Vaishnava scriptures. So, So to conclude, in summary, a person who is qualified for bhakti or sadhaka, he should not neglect to perform the important limbs of bhakti. He is at fault if he neglects, but he is not at fault for failing to perform the duties of varna and ashrama. And if he commits a forbidden activity, he need not perform the karma kandya prayaschitta. And for such a person, bhakti alone acts as the atonement, like that. So, sorry, I went way beyond time. So these are few things I wanted to share. So I'll pause here, and if there are any quick comments, if we still have some time for questions, maybe we will take for a while. Thank you very much for your patient listening. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Prabhuji, thank you so much for this wonderful class today. Mm-hmm. I was very intrigued by all of the details you gave. I've never heard it explained so nicely and clearly. I really and appreciate it, and I'm very enlightened today. Thank you so much. You said you do have time for some questions, Prabhuji?
I have, Mataji. If devotees have time, we can take.
Yes, Prabhuji, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any devotees, if you have any questions, you can please ask them now.
Hare any Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. I would like to get this the notes. Is it possible to get this?
Yeah.
All these notes is very nice.
Actually, today only I joined the Bhakti Sangha Japa group WhatsApp group. So if I'm allowed, then I can send the notes in that WhatsApp group.
Yeah, Shama Gauri Mataji?
Yes, Mataji. We'll send in the group. And I will send you separately also.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Nanavat Pranam, Prabhu.
Nanavat.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a very detailed class and nice details on the identification of how when the Lord incarnates, how the Lord is identified. Prabhuji, one question, Prabhu. This you mentioned that Bharata Varsha, mm-hmm. formerly it was called Ajanabha Varsha, right?
Yeah.
Because it's Ajanabha is one of the name of Rishabhdev also, right, Prabhu?
Rishabh. Yeah, correct.
Yeah, Prabhu, when like when it becomes Bharata Khanda later on, is it same Bharat Maharaj that?
No. Bharata Khanda is different, Prabhu. So yeah. Bharata Khanda is a small part of Bharat Varsha, which is spherical, what we call as Mother Earth. So the spherical Earth is actually Bharata Khanda, which is one of the small parts of Bharat Varsha.
Yes. So is that name Bharat here, Bharat Varsha and Bharat Khanda, the same Bharat we are referring to?
Bharat Varsha is this Bharat Maharaj, but whether Bharata Khanda is named after that Bharat Maharaj or not, I don't know.
Okay. Because in the Kuru dynasty also, there is one Bharat, right, Prabhu?
Huh? Yeah. Sometimes Prabhupada says that this Bharat Varsha is named after that Bharat Maharaj. Sometimes Bhagavatam itself says that the Bharat Varsha is named after this Bharat Maharaj. Maybe it must be both.
Okay.
But I don't think neither talks about Bharata Khanda. But maybe Bharata Khanda is also named after one of them or some other Bharata, we do not know. At least I do not know.
Okay. Prabhuji, one more thing. This Lord Brahma and Shiva, right? They become Garbhodakshaya becomes Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma sometimes. And then Jiva Tattva also becomes. But not to be get confused, how we know, Prabhu, like when we are referring, which aspect, whether it is incarnation, whether it is a expansion of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu or is a Jiva Tattva, like in a general rule.
Very simple. We ask our acharyas and they will tell us.
Okay.
That is the only way. And of course, there are certain verses which clearly indicates. That's why we saw examples of many verses.
Yes.
Where whenever the Brahma and Lord Shiva are compared with the demigods or they are categorized along with the demigods. So that is a Jivatma. And whenever the one Lord becomes Brahma and Shiva and Vishnu, the such kind of descriptions are there. That avatar is actually a Vishnu Tattva, like that.
Okay.
That is how it is.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Dhanavad Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanavad Pranam. Thank you so much for such a wonderful class and for explaining everything so clearly. Oh, can you hear me, Prabhuji?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Prabhuji, I do have a question on, so here you said that there are 32 features of the Lord, and so was Rishabhadev the Supreme Lord himself? Or like there are so many avatars, right? So, and you said, you explained how Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva can be an avatar of the Lord, an incarnation of the Lord, or they can be Jiva. So can you please shed some light on Lord Rishabhadev?
Lord Rishabh, again in the third chapter of Laghu Bhagavatamrita only, and of course in Bhagavatam also two places it is mentioned about in the first canto and third canto, second canto. Rishabhdev is a Leelavatara of the Supreme Lord, and he is a Swamsha incarnation only. So he is Vishnu Tattva. He is not Jiva Tattva. So he appeared in order to teach the principles of renunciation to yogis and jnanis. That was the purpose of his descent.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very wonderful class.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have any questions for Prabhuji? Okay, if no one has any questions, we can end the session now. But we want to thank you so much again for enlightening us on this really important topic. And thank you for your presence. And we pray that you would come back and have association with us very close in the near future, Prabhuji. So let us pay our obeisances to Prabhuji now. Vanchakalpa Purusha Krishna Sindhu Harevata
Krishna Vibhyo Namo Namah Jai Jai Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you Prabhuji, very very nectarian class. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna. All right.